Moving on to item number six, we're going to move on to delegations. We have one delegation on the agenda tonight, and the delegation has requested extra time, and I have granted this request. The delegation will be introduced by John Cullen, but it's going to be both John Cullen and Ian Angus on behalf of the Rural Focus Group regarding rural property taxes. And the delegation has 15 minutes. So I'm going to ask Mr. Cullen to come to the microphone and to introduce Mr. Angus. Thank you. And if you could press the button on the right-hand side just so everybody can hear you clearly. Thank you very much and welcome.
Come on. Okay. Well, good evening, and thank you for hearing us. My name is John Cullen, one of the organizers of the Rural Focus Group, a group of Ward 2 residents formed to represent our values and principles of what is fair and equitable. Prior to amalgamation, we lived in a municipality that represented those values and principles. Since the amalgamation, we've had to rely on a municipality that is part urban and part rural, where, unfortunately, we've been exploited and ignored. You've all received, along the outline of our presentation, a number of supporting materials which provide considerable detail about our situation, which will be referred to by our presenter. You should have the following. First is the Minister's Restructuring Order dated 18 March 2000, amalgamating Port Hope and Hope, give taxpayers more streamlined and efficient local government. The second one is the October 2013 Area Rating Report, which was co-authored by our presenter and includes a detailed examination of local taxation issues and how to ensure the levy distribution is fair and equitable across the municipality. The third is the 18 February 2014 presentation by the Rural Redesign Committee, of which I was also a member, wherein a petition with 2,603 signatures representing 81% of the adult population of Ward 2 expressed significant dissatisfaction with amalgamation. The petition was forwarded by the municipality, the province, but was not acted on. Received for information. The fourth is a tabulation of 25 years of mill rates for Ward 1 and Ward 2 and a comparison with Hamilton Township. I would now like to introduce our presenter, one of the authors of Amalgamation itself, and a longstanding and knowledgeable member of our community, Ian Angus. Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, councillors, and staff. Firstly, thank you for hearing us. Tonight, a lot of people have come here to speak with you. They are the speakers tonight. I'm just the presenter. They are speaking to you about an amalgamation which was well-intentioned but has failed, an amalgamation that is broken. And the question is, do you fix it or do you forget it? That is the choice that you must now make. And we are here to explain why you must do so. So how did it all come to this? How did we get to where we are today? Why did amalgamation occur? And what was the purpose of it all? Well, the Fewer Municipal Politicians Act of 1999 started it all. To quote the province, amalgamation was to give taxpayers more streamlined and efficient local government. When the province decreed that small municipalities must group together, Hope Township had two choices, Hamilton Township or Port Hope. Hamilton Township was not interested, and Port Hope was an urban municipality, not a rural one. Hamilton Township refused to join with Hope Township, and Hope Township refused to join with the town. under pressure from the province, to break that impasse. Port Hope offered protection to a Hope Township that would join with them. Rural councillors' votes would equal those of urban councillors on all matters relating to taxes, planning, and boundaries, and that was accepted as being fair and equitable. When the Port Hope Transition Board members outnumbered the Hope Township Board members, 7-5, Port Hope agreed that all decisions would require at least one yea vote from both councils. Otherwise, the decision would be automatically defeated. That, too, was fair and equitable. When it came to taxes, Port Hope agreed taxes would be based on what each ward had previously been raising. In other words, they were to be based on the actual costs of delivering services to each of the urban and rural communities. And it is noteworthy that in 2007, the council of the day ordered that council must give specific approval to any change in departmental service levels to Ward 2. No such approvals have been given to this day. For 10 years, the tax rates were relatively stable. The Ward 1 mill rate didn't change at all. And the Ward 2 mill rate increased by 12%. By comparison, the mill rate in the neighboring Hamilton Township actually decreased 4%. So that was not bad. For 10 years, this fairness and equity had prevailed. But then new councillors and new staff came on the scene. The operating agreement for Ward 2's recreation center in Bewdley was terminated. Ward 2 was not to have a recreation facility any longer, while Ward 1 was to spend liberally improving and expanding its recreation facilities. Fairness and equity, they were forgotten. This, despite what previous councils had committed to. No longer was it considered fair for each ward to levy the monies needed for their ward. Council decided that everyone was to pay the same rate of tax. And it is noteworthy that in doing so, the municipality ignored Section 326 of the Municipal Act, which provides a mechanism for setting different tax rates in different parts of a municipality by recognizing how different service levels have different costs. It became unacceptable for Ward 2 councillors to use their double votes for taxes. And Ward 2 councillors were subjected to pressure to accept that their double votes no longer existed. Where did the fairness and equity go? Where did the exploitation come from? Since then, tax exploitation has become the norm. Ward 1 taxes have gone up 17%. Ward 2 taxes have skyrocketed by 110%. And what's happening next door in Hamilton Township? Hamilton Township tax rates remain unchanged. Raising Ward 2 tax rates by 6.5 times the increase in Ward 1 tax rates is unconscionable, unfair, and unnecessary. It amounted to an initial $1 million Ward 2 annual subsidy of Ward 1, and imagine what that summary that subsidy amounts to today. And the unfairness, it continues to this day. Last November, Ward 2 councillors were told by senior municipal staff that they could not use their two votes when voting on this year's budget. If the Ward 2 votes had been properly counted, the budget, which called for yet another tax increase, would have been voted down. And what about this year's tax increase? Amid the current economic uncertainty and likelihood of massive job and income losses staring us all in the face, of all years, this is the year to lower taxes, not raise them. Yet this council has passed a tax increase budget, and they won't even tell us what its planned increase is to be. This is irresponsible and reprehensible. A staff report on the Ward 2 double votes was due in January and is 2 months overdue. It can only be concluded that the effort to get rid of the Ward 2 double votes is active and ongoing. And this year, for the first time, Ward 2 taxpayers will be paying towards the Ward 1 Christmas tree pickup program, despite the fact that this service is not provided to Ward 2 residents. It is obvious that the spirit of the original amalgamation is not being respected. Since amalgamation, Ward 2 tax rates have gone from being less than 2/3 to 1.5 times what the rates are in Hamilton Township, while we have seen services actually being reduced in Ward 2. Since amalgamation, the mill rate for Ward 2 has risen 122%, while the mill rate for Ward 1 has risen 17%. Hamilton Township, in the same period, decreased 4.4%. How's that for fair and equitable? A study presented to council of this municipality 11 years ago, been referred to by my introducer, the rural redesign document at page 2, you will find, quote, "The current situation of a small rural population amalgamated with a large urban population is unworkable." At page 1, bullet 2, "The significant tax increases have reminded Ward 2 residents that amalgamation is not working." Amalgamation wasn't working at the time of that submission, and it's not working today. The amalgamation that we agreed to is broken. The unfair and unjust exploitation of the Ward 2 community must end. We are calling for a future where fairness and equality prevail. And you have a choice. You can fix it or you can forget it. Given the opportunity, Ward 2 can and will look after itself. There is to be no more arbitrary imposition of taxes and Ward 2 subsidies of Ward 1 services. There is to be no more denying Ward 2 councillors their two votes. And going forward, there must be fair treatment of the Ward 2 councillors and the Ward 2 taxpayers. Why, for instance, don't you do as the transition board and require at least one vote from both wards for a council decision to pass? Worth some thought, don't you think? Your undertaking to treat Ward 2 with fairness and equity, if that is to be your choice, will include the following. Ward 2 councillors will have their two votes on taxes, planning, and boundary changes. And Ward 2 taxes will be reduced this year to be equal to or less than those of Hamilton Township. The decision to fix or forget amalgamation is now in your hands. And we will return in 4 weeks at your next council meeting to learn what you have decided. Thank you and good night.
No clapping.